Lance, how you doing?
Good, Jason. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, you being a guy who's, you're not a guy who just throws down 10 bucks on his favorite team every weekend. You're a guy who does a lot of studying, a lot of algorithms in this for the past, what, 2.5 decades?
Yeah, something like that, roughly.
So I guess let's start out, first of all, with weekend wagers. And for a lot of people out there, every now and then like to have some fun. I got 20 bucks here. I'm going to put it on certain games. What's the number one mistake most people make when they throw down money on a sporting event?
Well, Jason, the big thing is that most people tend to look at what happened recently, you know, the availability of what they saw, particularly on primetime games. So once you look at, for example, if you look at how Tom Brady performed, I mean, on Monday, everybody looks and goes, who was that? That was not Tom Brady. KC absolutely decimated the Patriots, and the Patriots look like they're going to go 2-16 for the rest of the year. So the number one mistake that people tend to make is go, wow, Tom Brady is terrible, and we're never going to bet on him ever again.
So there's a lot of money going on Cincinnati, who's 3-0 on the road in New England coming off a bye.
Absolutely. There is a lot of money. In fact, it's almost as high as 65% of the consensus of people right now betting anywhere between 60 and 65% on a Friday, depending on who you're looking at, are saying that Cincy is going to win this game at anywhere between a 1 and a 2-point favorite.
Now, the line right now, the line is always interesting because do you recommend for people to, is it better in football, I don't know if you've studied it, going against, like, using the line and the spread or just straight up? Do you have a higher percentage chance of winning doing either one?
Honestly, Jason, it's all relative. The line is relative to the actual money line, which is who's going to win straight up. So depending on what the spread is, you get more or less value on the money line. So again, depending on if the number, it's all about the number. If the number's 2, if the number's 2.5, number's 3, and number's 3.5. Everybody knows that a field goal is one of the most important aspects to wagering in the NFL. Well, if your team that you're choosing has to win by more than a field goal, that's hard. I shouldn't say it's hard. It's just, it's relatively in the minds of the person wagering, can they do that? Whereas if it's 2.5, like the Cincy game with New England, it's only -1. Essentially, pick a winner.
Yeah.
So, but when it's 10 or 10.5 or 9.5, that makes all the difference in the world where the money, where the lines maker has set that line, so where the money will go.
We're going to get into some of your games of the week. When you guys go in depth, and I know that you use algorithms from like the last 2 decades, when you plunge this into your computer at weekendwagers.com, that how much does coming off of a bye week impact it? Like Seattle, the Broncos, and Cincinnati. Some people argue maybe 3 of the top 4 or 5 teams in the league. Historically, are teams coming off bye weeks that much better?
In the NFL, coaching is a huge factor. And, you know, anybody that doesn't put coaching as a major tool or major factor, a variable within the line, is kidding themselves. Coaching is huge. If a coach gets an extra 5 to 7 days to prepare for a game, yes, of course, they can strategize completely differently than coming off a game, particularly, you know, on the other side of the coin, having a Thursday game where you've just played on Sunday and now you have to play 3 days from now. Preparation in football is everything. And yes, historically, bye weeks are important. But remember, whatever the piece of information that, you know, the average person or the public thinks, like a bye week is good, well, the lines maker has built that in.
Okay.
So he's already acknowledged that and likes the fact, or, you know, knows the fact that the public likes the team coming off the bye week. Therefore, you know, now Cincy, instead of being a pick'em, is -1.
And a lot of times, Lance Motown Fisher joined us from weekendwagers.com. The line makers, like Vegas isn't successful because these guys don't know what they're doing. Like, they seem to find the line because there's a lot of average guys like myself. Like, I don't do any research. And really, if I do a pick'em where I don't put any money down, I seem to have better success. The minute I put money down, it's $5, all of a sudden the teams are losing. I have no idea why, because I don't think I changed my thought process. It just doesn't seem to work out as well when I have money on the line. But the lines are put in place specifically to entice you a lot of times to probably go against what you think.
Jason, the line in the most traditional sense is that the bookmaker typically makes, you know, it's typically called -110. You're betting $100 or you're betting $10 to win $11. You're betting $11 to win 10, or you're betting 110 to win 100. And that typically, if you can get both sides of the person who, or like in Vegas, if you're getting a person betting both sides equally, the bookmaker makes the commission, essentially. He makes the $1 commission on, you know, every 100. And that tends to be one of the most conservative and reasonable examples of how line making work. If you can get both people betting on each side, that tends to be the most one of the more successful models, if from the bookmaker's perspective. Of course, that doesn't mean that every bookmaker is equal, just like no business is equal, no sports team is equal. Obviously, there's more conservative books, and there's more, including the in offshore and wherever a person decides to bet, you know, sports select, same thing. There's always a number, and depending on how people want to bet that number will be the success of that book.
Lance Fisher joins us from weekendwagers.com. So let's look at some of your picks, because you guys said like the I guess one other thing quickly, because we've got a lot of text people. Can you explain what minus 110 means when you're betting?
It's a basic the basic math is that in Las Vegas, which is the model for all sports wagering, minus 110 typically works on the $100 scale, that if you bet $110 and you pick the correct team, that means they will return to you $210. But if you lose it, they take the $110. Obviously, if you lose it, they take it all. On a $110 bet, they give you back $100. And so if you have both sides equally bet, you obviously all the losers pay out, but then the winners, they only have to give you back $100
of your $110.
Of your $110. They keep the $10.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the and so also too, when you look at, like, you know, a good example is UFC or boxing. Like, you'll see, if Mayweather's fighting, you might see -1,000. Well, you got to bet $1,000. The minus means that you got to bet that much on a base of 100. So you bet $1,000 just to win 100. In other words, you'd return $1,100. Whereas his opponent might be plus. And the plus, let's say 600, well, that means for every $100 you bet as for the underdog, you make $600.
That's like 6 to 1, right?
That's right.
Okay.
It's always your wager you get back, and then on top of that, you get the extra, the plus money.
So looking at your numbers this week, what would, like, if we were going, let's just preface this by saying, don't come back to us and scream and yell if the game we recommend doesn't win, because there's no guarantee. If there was guarantees, then everyone would win every weekend. But what, like the New Orleans game, Tampa Bay, right? You look at, and I know Tampa Bay coming off a victory over Pittsburgh, but that's the game, even though the Saints still, like, they're, I think, minus 10 or something like that at this point, still a good game to bet on in your eyes?
Actually, yes. One of the things that we love about that game in particular is we use a model derived from procomputergambler.com, and what happens is we get raw numbers and then we go into databases and we start looking around at seeing what trends and what sort of correlates with our numbers. And at Weekend Wagers, then we start making a decision as to, you know, what's more likely to happen than others. And obviously the whole point is you're not betting all, I think this week there's 15 games. You're not betting 15. You're finding the best two or three typically that are available to you to wager on. Well, in this case, New Orleans tends to be one of those. New Orleans is one of those teams where we're looking, in this case, we're not only looking at the raw numbers, because you can't always just bet numbers in the models. You got to say, well, what else is driving this? Well, Drew Brees, for example, he's a reason that's driving this wager this weekend. And the reason is, in his career, after a loss, I mean, you think about the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's of the world. You know, why are these people superstars? Because typically they don't lose a lot. And in many ways, this is considered a bounce-back game for Drew Brees, particularly, you know, the way he looked last week. In this case, we have a good statistics, which we pull from the database, that says Drew Brees is 30-17 straight up and 29-18 against the spread off of a loss. And at home, it even gets better. He's 20-5 and 17-8 against the spread. And against Tampa, one of the things we really like about this scenario is that Tampa just comes off of a really great victory. And now, you know, this is a prime opportunity for a bad team who gets a win to come to let down.
So your studies, like you guys, you mentioned, I guess give our listeners a little bit of insight to, you know, it's not just you look at the results per se of the last 20 years of just who won and lost. It's a lot of the stuff leading into it, win conditions, so many other things, correct?
There's a lot of factors, but you have to, you know, if you've ever picked up a form in a racing form and you've looked and you know, if you don't know how to handicap a horse race, I mean, you can look at 148 different things, and if you looked at all, you know, you measured 100 people, you asked 100 people sitting at the racetrack, what's your most important tool? About 98% of them will give you a different answer. Like everybody has, you know, past history, future history. I mean, there's just like anything, when you study it in handicapping, it's just trying to come up with the best decision based on the information you're given. Similar in any sense, you know, poker. What information do I have? What information don't I have? What can I come up with based on what's given to me?
So leading into the NFL this weekend, and you made an interesting point as Lance Fisher joins us from weekendwagers.com earlier, that you don't want to bet all of it. That's usually where guys get into trouble, because you're betting too much. You know, I hear about the parlay, right? Like you want to get three or four or five or six games, and man, I'm going to put my money down, and if it all happens, I win big. And usually it's rare for all of it to happen. Yes, the potential for more gain is there. But the harsh reality is you end up losing more because you're putting such a big risk on it. When you guys make your wagers, is three games, is it better to do it individually on one ticket, each game individually, or put two, three, four games on one ticket?
There are obviously scenarios that create better value.
Yeah.
And for example, here locally, we have Sports Select. It's been a government-run lottery for 25 years. And what the advantage to it is, it's legal. You can go to your 7-Eleven, you can go, you know, play anywhere, cash it the next day. It's great, it's wonderful. Most of us play this. Unfortunately, the downside to Sports Select is that the odds are very much reduced. Like in the money line factor, you know, it's more like minus 140, minus 150 because you know, there's a they call it a juice or a you know, a sort of interest rate that you have to pay to play these games.
Yes.
Not only that, in Canada you must play minimum, or in the, you know, particularly with Sports Select, you must play minimum two games in certain scenarios and three games in others. And as a result, of course, the more games you have to bet, the less likely it is that you're going to win.
Right.
The advantage, and we will talk about Sports Select in a few minutes, the advantage of what is given to you is that their lines come out way early in the week, and as a result you get to see what happens during the week in Las Vegas in the offshore sports books, and you can have a look and then judge, you know, where are the lines now, where are the lines today, was there a major injury?
So their lines come out on Tuesday and they stay, they don't change?
No, I mean, unless there's the general view is that unless something dramatically happens, they won't pull the game. But it has happened that, you know, occasionally they will pull a game. But in the NFL, there's so much money wagered that they will try to abide by whatever lines they have for, you know, as long as they can.
But the line usually, like, let's say it starts at minus 6.5 on Tuesday. A lot of times by the time Sunday comes, it might only be minus 3, right?
That's a little extreme, but more likely to go through, say, it's minus 6. Or in this case, they always want winners and losers. There's not even numbers, always a 0.5.
Yes.
That's what the 0.5
yeah.
is for. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, well, what's this 0.5 stuff? But so let's say it starts at 6.5 or 7. Let's say 7.5. It's a good example. A lot of times a line will move all the way to 9.5. It's not the most dramatic looking change, but it does make a difference in how you're going to approach it and how you're going to wager on it.
Lance Fisher joins us from weekendwagers.com. What about Sports Select props?
Well, you know, fantasy sports is such a huge business right now. And, you know, fantasy sports is actually legal in all of North America. As using the North American or the American model, you know, that drives so much revenue towards sports. And obviously with the NFL, fantasy sports has been one of their absolute you know, I don't think they saw it coming, but it's one of their key catalysts to driving the interest of the game. And so when you look at Sports Select, it's the same kind of a thing. They're going to take their you know, their juice in the middle. At the end, you still have to pick three players that you think are going to essentially out-duel each other. It's very difficult. We tend to not focus so much on the players.
Okay.
But yet, you know, even just like when I'm giving you statistics or if you ask me for a winner, that might affect people's decisions in a sense. If they don't like the Saints or if they like the Saints, well, you might want to play Drew Brees. I have him in my fantasy pool. Well, you know, we're taking the Saints this week. I'm hoping he has a really good game, you know, for many reasons.
Lance, we had a lot of texts coming in on the trap line, and if you can give an example of what you – like, what's a trap line, and then what is an example of one?
A trap line tends to be a line that is on one side of – I mean, using gambling jargon, you know, the handle, the you know, which side is it on the field goal? Is it 3.5 or is it 2.5? So there are bookmakers out there, for example, that, you know, let's say offshore, there are bookmakers that – tend to be more lenient to want to give you the half point on the underdog. So they will make the line, instead of being 3, they'll give you 3.5. But is it a trap? The trap is, oh, I like, well, if this game is so close and it's going to, you know, it's going to be a field goal game, well, obviously they're sucking, I don't want to say sucking in, but
no.
That's where they want the money, and the book feels comfortable
sure.
in getting the money. But then you have to ask yourself, is it a trap? And, you know, typically 6.5, well, it's only a touchdown. I'm going to bet 7. 7's a key number. You know, the handles are called key numbers. So if you're betting these key numbers, as most people, just like in the CFL, 2, 3, 7, you know, these are, well, 7 in the CFL is a little different, but in the NFL, 7's a key number. So depending on how they want to trap you, or, you know, in this case, you know, we have a game coming up with New England and Cincinnati. New England's a dog at home. Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at that and go, well, it's easy money for both teams. I mean, there's a lot of ways that the line affects who you're going to be trapped by.
So you mentioned earlier that you recommend maybe going with 2 or 3 games and not betting on all 15.
If available, Jason.
Yeah.
I always prefer to bet one game at a time.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's always the best. But where we are, the legality is you got to bet at least 2.
Yeah.
So that's where you got to kind of watch yourself.
Bet. And so rather than get sucked in to go 5 or 6, because your potential to make more is higher. But there's a reason why they do that, is because your chances of winning become significantly lower.
Think of a roulette table. I mean, if somebody said to you, I'm gonna go bet, you know, red 5 times in a row, or 10 times in a row, or 1 time in a row. I mean, it's, you know, essentially 50-50 or 48-3 or 4, you know, you're basically rolling the wheel, but every game is a very difficult decision. Betting one is hard. Like in the business of sports wagering, 53% is incredibly good. You know, typically most people fall between, you know, even a bad handicapper will fall, you know, typically 47% if he was just bet them all straight up.
Yeah.
Or bet them all against
somebody who wins 53% of their time is doing really well.
Generally speaking, if their money management is good, 53% is typically a strive for number, depending on their strategy. Conservatively, that is just betting against the spread, 53% is actually usually a very good number, because after you take away the juice, you know, 53% is just above profit if you bet every game equally, of course.
Yes.
And that's the other thing. People say, well, what if you suck in a week, or what if you suck, you know, in a year? Well, if you suck, you know, the biggest worst part of wagering is falling between the 47, 48 to 52 mark. It means that you're never going to make profit. If you're terrible, at least you know you're terrible and you can bet against yourself in a sense. Or people, you know, if you're a company or whatever, I mean, you're seeing things completely opposite, and that's never even a bad thing. There's a lot of people that pay, you know, in pools for the worst player, you know, or the best player, of course. But falling in the middle is actually one of the worst things you can do.
Quickly, your games of the week you'd recommend.
We really like the New England Patriots this week at home. We really love Tom Brady. Tom Brady's 45-16 straight up, and 40-21 after any loss, particularly in the next game if he's a 9-point dog or less. He's aging, but those two picks, you know, he threw in KC were also his first two picks of the year. The Bengals have had a weaker schedule, even though they're 3-0, and you know, that's something that you know, Brady, I think, is going to have going for him in that game.
So you like that? Any other games you like this weekend?
In the CFL, I like tonight's game. We got a projection, despite the fact that I heard Jason Greger starting quarterback for the Riders tonight.
Close.
But you know what? It's a team game. It's a matter of numbers. In the end, we feel that against the Stamps at home, that plus 4.5 is going to be a good number for, you know, again, most people think the Stamps are going to win this game and they're going to walk over Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan hasn't scored any point. They scored three points or less in their last two out of three, other than the Ottawa game. I also like the under for that reason. I don't think it's going to be a shoot 'em up. And one thing that I like about the Sports Select line is that it's 47.5. 47, it tends to be one of the key totals in the CFL.
Yeah.
And they have it above it just a little bit. So
go the under on the Riders and the Stampeders.
Go the under. And then, you know, I like that game. And then one of the, you know, talking about Sports Select and just general, you know, putting the line out on Tuesday, one of the best lines we got going is tomorrow with in college football, which is Texas A&M and Mississippi State. The line is 67.5 on Sports Select, yet it's actually pushed a 73 in the real world. Well, the real world, but
yeah,
it is a 5.5 point discrepancy between what it was and what it is. You know what? It's they're too high.
So then you should go over 67.
And those would be the two I would go over 67.5, and the Riders under. I would look at the Riders to cover tonight as well. But it, you know, I don't love it, but I like it. That's one of those. And then, of course, New Orleans would be one of my picks that we think they're covering 10. So covering at 1.25, covering three is, you know, we think that 3.5 essentially on Sports, we think that's a good bet as well.
You can check it out more at weekendwagers.com. Weekendwagers.com, and I'm looking up the site right now. I got all sorts of great info on there. People can sign up for your email thing if they want to get more serious. And of course, you guys have teamed up with ProComputerGambler.com. So,
and we send an email out. You know, there's a lot of good information there that we put out. And like I said, we're there for the you know, the casual fan who loves the game, as well as the people who are offshore, as well as Sports Select. You know, we do.
Lance, we'll talk to you again next Friday at 3:20. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason. I really appreciate it.